How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Early day tomorrow?
I do have an early day tomorrow. I got to go see the specialist.
Oh, right, right. You were telling me that.
The wrist specialist. Although it does, I will say that even after the treatment at the osteo guy, things feel a little bit better.
What?
That first day after was rough, but now yeah. I get it. Like I can do things I haven't been able to do before, but it's still bothersome.
Did you try ice? And what did they have you doing? Like Epsom salt, ice, heat?
At the osteo visit, he did 10s units, like cups.
Oh, yeah.
And then he did laser stuff.
Yeah.
Manipulations, like pulling and pushing and that kind of stuff. And needles, acupuncture needles.
Oh, they kind of did it all, a little of everything.
A little bit of everything. And then when I came home, he said, ice it, you know, take whatever you would normally take as pain reliever. So I took a couple of Aleves and it calmed down by like late at night, but during the day it was brutal. And then the next day I noticed a little bit of a difference, you know, because like, it's just gotten to the point and it's my right wrist. You know what I mean? I'm right hand dominant. So
yeah.
Everything from like shoving my hand in my pocket to holding the hair dryer to washing my hair, like lifting up a kettle, lifting up a teapot, holding the pot, washing dishes, like every single thing,
I was gonna say, even the phone, right?
Yeah. Couldn't use my thumbs, you know, for texting at all.
Right.
No scrolling. Oh, couldn't scroll. So yeah, it just got to the point where like, okay, I tried a wrist brace. I tried anti-inflammatories. I tried ice, you know, whatever on my own and nothing was working. And it's just slowly gotten worse and worse and worse, but I really think I did the lion's share, the aggravation.
Right.
I was on the cruise.
Into
October, I was like texting and sending pictures to everybody, and I would have like five different conversations going, and you know, I just overused it so much in September and October that in November is when I started feeling it, and I was like, oh man, this is what the heck's that, you know? And then I started trying to do things on my own, and seriously, by January, it was like, okay, something's going on here. And I waited like way too long. But, you know, spring is sprung. You know what I mean? Like we're getting into spring. I got a lot of travel coming up. You know, I'm going.
Right.
Two more weeks and I'll be there. And then, so I'm there.
Boy, that went fast.
I'm there.
That went fast.
What?
That went fast when you were here and you were saying you were coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. So
it seemed like it's going to be such a long time, and it's not going to be that long before you're here.
Right. Yeah. It's really sneaking up. It's really sneaking up fast. And then that'll be a couple weeks in May, and then I come back in September. I'll be there for my birthday, and then just booked December. So Gemma's going to come home with me for a week, and then she'll fly back, but I'll stay until mid-January.
That's nice. Oh, you'll be here a nice long time.
Yeah, it's a big chunk, but I think I'll just spend the holidays there and, you know, spend Christmas and New Year's and everything with my parents. I haven't done that in a while. You know, nothing's going to match the trip that we did this last December when we went to Gaylord Palms. So this will just be like nice family time. We might not have the same, stories, but my mom's killing me this week, man. She's been cracking me up. She, like I said, we had this whole conversation about how she's off chicken.
Yeah, why? What happened with chicken?
I don't know. Like, how did you catch the ick on chicken? You know, like, I feel like I grew up on chicken cutlets.
Right?
There was always a plate of, like, chicken cutlets and stuff on the table. So yeah, I'm like, is it handling it? Is it seeing it? She's like,
Yeah, that's where I get the ick.
yeah. I'm like, so what are you on then? Are you on anything? She's like, we've been eating a lot of potatoes. And I'm like, oh, just potatoes? He's like, yeah. Like Rick will make like two big baked potatoes, and I'll just have a potato with, sour cream, a little butter, salt and pepper. I'm good.
Potatoes are come back with Marlene. Remember the baked potato craze in the 80s and the 90s when they had the baked potato restaurants where they just
Yeah,
loaded
the
stuff
toppings. It was all about the toppings,
on
right? Like all the
top
shit. And the same thing with salad bars and the going
of
through a line and picking out 9 million things to put on a what was once a healthy salad, but now you've got
when
everything.
potatoes lost their pop. You're right. They had their day, man. Like in
Yeah.
the 80s, 90s,
Yeah.
potatoes were
Yep.
it.
I remember one of the great New Year's parties that Donna threw was a baked potato party with a baked potato bar. Like every year it was something like at one time it was a sundae bar and it was just all about the toppings. And then one time it was a baked potato bar and it was all about the toppings. It's just, I think it's the easiest crowd pleasing thing you can do that is the least
Yes.
pain in the assy, you know what I mean?
Yes. Please
So
clean up. Probably just have bins of stuff at
yeah,
the end.
exactly. So yeah, already she's like already planning like New Year's. She was like, you have to come to Old Ladies New Year's Eve. And I'm like, that sounds amazing.
Old ladies, New Year's Eve. Are they dressing like old ladies?
No, they just are old ladies. So it starts at 6 and she goes, it ends at 10. No ifs, ands, buts. Everybody out. She's like, we have like different, whiskey tastings and like a big charcuterie board. I'm like, that is really old lady. Yeah, you're nailing it.
Midnight, they just can't make it
No,
to
out. Everybody needs to be home by midnight. I'm like,
Wow.
I was like, I could kind of have my own old ladies' night with my mother, who is legitimately an old lady.
We have
But when the,
that here too
yeah,
at
old
Joni.
lady night.
Yeah, Joni has she says what she calls the worst New Year's Eve party ever because
A
it's
slow
her
bar.
in-laws, her mother and father-in-law, my mom and her and my sister, and then us. And it's just like we order in. I think she usually gets like the ringleader subs from Publix, or
Yeah.
sometimes she brings in other things like maybe baked ziti and pizza and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like because of the kids, she doesn't go anywhere. And then like her
Yeah.
in-laws are older, so it's the old ladies. The
The
old ladies.
old people New Year's. Yeah, like I think we're all at that age, but I don't know that I want to go someplace for a few hours and chat
No.
with a bunch of old ladies, then come home and chat with my own old people. So I'm like, I might just try and liven up my mom because I do think that everybody but Americans love to travel. You know what I mean? Like they have a passport, and especially the Brits
That's
do,
true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
they want to go to Portugal, they want to go to Spain, they want to go to Mallorca, they want to go to the Maldives, they want to go anywhere hot, like because they're
Yeah,
close
true.
there. And I'm the complete opposite. Like I love winter, I love like the cold weather. I don't care that there's not a leaf on a tree. I don't care that it looks dreary or whatever. It's cold, I love it. Super thrilled with it. Don't need to go anywhere hot. I was in heat for 25 years, but
Oh my God,
when
yes. Yeah.
people ask me like, where are you from? And I go, the States, they go, yeah, whereabouts? And I go, Florida. They go, what are you doing here? I can't explain it to them. You know what I mean? Like I just go, I got married. Like I don't mind it. I like the four different seasons and you know what I mean? Like, but
Yeah.
truthfully, like being in that heat day in and day out and day in and day out, you don't
Oh
think
God.
about it, I guess, right? You don't think about it when you're
I
living.
don't. I miss it. You don't think about it when you're here, but then like I miss it. Like if I think about going away,
Yeah.
and like I want to come to England in the winter, and everybody's like, "Oh, it's too cold," or I want to go anywhere in the winter, like when I travel, and they're like, "Well, what are you going to go? It's cold," but I want to go to the
Yeah.
cold.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to get out. I guess it's like you want the opposite of what you have. You
Yes, yeah, because when I lived in New York, everybody's idea of a vacation was palm trees, beach, sand, like anywhere
Orlando.
like
Yeah.
that. But,
Yep.
of course, Florida. But
Cabo. Yeah.
even we did it, like that's the first place you think. You don't think
Right.
about going to Colorado, maybe, or someplace with snow. That's what I want to do this next snow season, God willing. I want to go play. I never played in the snow, Denise. Like I'm
I'm
60 years
telling
old.
you, there are some amazing.
I never made a snow angel. I never made a snowman. I
Yeah.
wasn't allowed to play in the snow when I was a kid.
Oh my God,
So
of course.
I had snow. I lived in on Long Island, of
Yep.
course, right? So
Right.
I definitely want to be
In
snowing
Alaska.
here. Isn't that horrible? And I want to make a snowman, and I want to make a snow angel, and I want to just get that feeling of being in the cold. I mean, we did that this year in New York, but it was a little bit hectic because
It
as
was
soon
too
as we got
short.
our grounding, we had to come home. Like once
Yeah.
we knew where we were and how to get around and what we
Right.
might else we want to see. So we definitely want to go back to New York, but it's to the city,
I
but it's
think
going to
it's great to go someplace where it's like a vast, nature-filled snow area.
be
You
fun. Yes.
know,
Yes.
and I'm not even a skier, but I would love to go to Switzerland. I
Yeah.
would love to go to Norway. Like those are great. We see so many programs right now. I think Norway's like a real hot spot right now. Like,
Is it?
what is that? Where did
I
that? Where
don't
did
know.
that?
It's a Norway approval. Somebody from Norway sent
That
that.
was so weird.
I love what Gemma did. She did something. Was it Norway
Yeah,
that she
she
did?
went to Norway, and she's actually going back in the summer. Like she was showing some of the girls at work some pictures, and now they really want to go, but they
Yeah.
didn't want to go when it was snowy, so
Yeah.
they'll go back, when it's
Oh.
nicer. Yeah, but it looked gorgeous, didn't it, with the snow? Yeah, I
Well,
would do
speaking of heat, we were at the Madonna concert this weekend on
that. I
Sunday.
saw that.
So, right,
Never, never miss out
was,
on a pop culture moment. I love
right?
that. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I have never seen her in concert. I don't think I would have gone if it wasn't like a peer pressure thing. My friends were going and Joni wanted to go. So, and Danny, it's her favorite. That's her favorite, one of her favorite artists. So our two gay guy friends, they said, "We'll meet you there. We're wearing special outfits." And I figured they were probably wearing some special rock t-shirts or whatever, vintage. They showed up in drag. I was like shocked because I've never seen them in drag. I didn't know they did that. So they looked awesome. People were taking pictures with them. It was so funny. But the thing is that speaking of hot, she has them turn the air conditioner off in the entire place for not just the time of the show, the 2 hours she makes you wait before she goes on. So if she's got an 8:30 show, don't expect her to be on before 10:30. It's
Oh, I
just a
knew
gift.
that. I knew that. I saw her at the Orange Bowl.
Know that about her? But
Yeah.
out in Miami, can you ask them to shut the air conditioning off? It was like brutal. It was brutal.
That's
And so,
disgusting. I
yeah.
used to hear stories about Luther Vandross doing that because he wanted to lose weight.
Oh, well, I heard that he did it because of his vocal cords, which is what she's saying, but she's lip syncing half the time anyway. So
Yeah.
that's a story. Honestly, I probably will get in trouble for saying this for the Madonna fans, but I think it's a power play. I think she just loves to see how far she can push people.
Probably, yeah.
She got on the mic and she said, I want to thank everybody for going along with my request, like as if anyone had a choice of
Yeah.
not conditioning. And then someone up front said something about it because she said, if you feel hot, just take off your shirt.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then, ha, right? And then somebody up front said something to her. And then she said, well, I don't care about your opinion of me or anyone's opinion of me. And I'm like, wow. Can I imagine if I tried to do that at the Arts Garage? Like, I'm not only am I showing up 2 hours late, but now there's no air conditioning and
Yeah,
everybody's
yeah.
got to sit there for that
In South Florida.
I heard that there are people that have lawsuits, because you know me, what am I thinking of? All the germs in this hot box. Right? People from everywhere in Miami, in the melting pot of Miami. It was awful. It actually felt cold when we went outside, because that's how hot it was.
Yeah. Walking out into 82 degree weather felt cold, felt refreshed. Yep. Disgusting. My friends of mine went to go see Luther Vandross, and this was back at Sunrise Musical Theater.
Yes.
They the next day I was asking them how it was, and they were like, it was awful. It was so, you know, it was so hot and gross, and you're shoulder to shoulder with people, and it was just, you know, like to go get a drink, you'd have to go through like, you know, a massive amount of people to get, and it was, and I'm like, never. Like, I would just leave. I would just eat that ticket and leave, you know?
Yes. Yeah. You know what? We would have left earlier, except we had one of our friends rode with us, and we're looking over at her, and we were all ready to leave, the three of us, Joni, me, and Danny, right? And I'm looking, and she was like ready to pass out. And I said, you know, are you okay if we go, you know? And she's like, she thought we meant to take a break. So we went out of the arena, down the thing, out like where the lobby area is. And she says, did you just mean to take a break, or we're not going back in? And now, you know, when you have someone riding with you. And I said, well, we were going to leave, but if you want to stay, we're going to just stay down here outside. And then when you're ready, we'll leave. And then she goes, no, that's okay. She said, I mean, we did pay a lot of money for the ticket, but, you know, I understand. She did say that. But you know what? I think she really wanted to go just as much as we did, because she looked like she was passing out at one point. I mean,
that's disgusting. That's so gross.
Brutal. Yeah, just imagine. And then I wasn't in charge of the seats, the tickets. So my friends got the tickets, and they got the nosebleeds. So now, because heat rises, we were in, like, the worst part. Worst part. Could be. Yeah, so I'm not impressed. So, but I did get to hear Live to Tell, which is my favorite one of her songs, and she did that like the second song. So that's my story.
Well, I know, like, I look at everybody I knew, like my friends in St. Pete went to the concert, you know, and again, everybody dressed for it, you know.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was so funny. Like, I can't remember the year. I want to say it was like, it was the True Blue tour. So it had to have been like 89 or maybe 90, 91. I don't know. Somewhere around there. But it was one of the last big concerts at the Orange Bowl. And we rented like a minivan, and we went to the concert, and we like paid somebody to park on their lawn, because just like the parking lot was overflowing. And it started raining, and everybody was getting wet because the Orange Bowl's open, right? It's like a football stadium. It was 2.5 hours. They canceled the opening act, and then another half an hour for them to come and squeegee the stage, because she was so afraid of dancing with a wet stage.
And
they waited for the rain to stop. Squeegee. We sat there for like 3 hours.
Oh my God.
And it was just like, we were soaked, and it was like, oh my God, like, this is still the worst.
It's too much. Like, nobody's that good that you're going to sit through that torture, you know, but to put people through that on purpose was really awful, I thought. And like I said,
when you see what a normal concert looks like with 85,000 people, you know, and you, like, I watched the Taylor Swift concert, you know, like, we were texting about it. Like, I was just so blown away. Like, I was never a Swiftie. I don't have a lot of Taylor Swift songs downloaded, or don't know that much about her, don't really follow it, because I felt like it was for 13-year-olds, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean? And then I have this really bad problem of if I don't like, and it applies to celebrities too, but even with my family. Like, the last time I saw my little cousins when I left New York and moved to Florida, then moved to London, they're kind of frozen in my mind at that age.
Mm-hmm.
you know. So I think with Taylor Swift, I just froze her in my
mind at a
really young age and being real bubblegummy poppy country. So I never had any interest, but everybody was talking about the concert and it was going on. It was on Disney and Gemma was away. And I'm like, you know what? I'll put it on and I'll get some of my cleaning done. I'll just have it on in the background. I never moved from the couch.
Wow.
Like, I started watching it. I was just like, this is really like I was so like into the production value of it. And I finally understood that it meant the eras were the albums and each album had a different production, stage production. And like I was after like the second, I'm like, oh my God, it's all clicking. Like it's all clicking. This is fantastic. And I was so into it. And like, I'm like, this is how it's done. Like give people what they're paying for.
Yes.
Give them exactly what they're paying for.
Right. And I mean, you don't let them wait 2 hours. And
right.
That air conditioning was off, like I said, for those 2 hours prior.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's so mean.
Yeah, it was torture.
And a lot of people doing that, like if you were in the snow belt and it was freezing. Right. Like I can totally understand it. But in the southern states, like no, sit outside. Outside and get your warm air. You know what I mean? Don't do that to your fans. That's brutal.
I was thinking there's got to be a health code thing. She's got a couple of lawsuits going against her right now, mostly for starting late, which I really think it should be more about shutting the air conditioning.
I mean, I can't imagine how many people like have passed out, you know, and left and then didn't get to see the concert, lost money on the ticket and had a hospital bill to boot.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that kind of stuff is just it's honestly it's so ignorant. And you know the thing about it is like when I think performers are doing shows in places where they can't control it, like in Rio, when Taylor Swift bringing it back, when Taylor Swift did a show in Rio and somebody passed out, she stopped. She stopped to make sure that this person got medical attention, followed up, you know, like that kind of stuff. You have no control over the outside elements when you're at a stadium, you know, thing.
Right.
But you're in a closed dome concert arena. That, you know.
Yes, that was sadistic, I thought.
Yeah, good word.
It was a narcissistic move to see how much can I control these people? I'm going to make them wait 2 hours and then I'm going to put them through the torture of sitting without air conditioning in Miami. You know, it's like, what more are you going to do to us? She spit on a couple of people too in the front row. She took a sip of water and spit it on them. Yeah. That was rude. I was not impressed.
I get nervous when celebrities start getting older and weirder and almost like they're trying to stay relevant.
And that
she's irrelevant because she's obviously with the queers, she's never going to be irrelevant. They're always worshiping and everything. But I feel like some older celebrities, especially, and I don't want to make it political, but here we go. People like Roseanne Barr, you know, like showing up at Mar-a-Lago looking like Madame Grimaldi and saying like all these outrageous things. And I just feel like sometimes when celebrities feel like they're past the expiration date, they will start getting weird. But then what happens is they kind of believe what they're spewing, you know, like it seems like at first it was for publicity and it's for like, you know, for videos to go viral and see themselves all over social media. But then I think they feel that surge, like a resurgence. So they keep doing it. And then the world just thinks that they're fucking idiots and they don't care because they're back in the mainstream and making happen.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like,
too long.
It's painful to watch. It's painful to watch. It's brutal. But you know, I do like people that have gotten older and then just kind of pop up out of nowhere. Like right now we're watching Palm Royale on Apple. And with Kristen Wiig and Ricky Martin is in it.
Oh.
And Allison Janney, like all these really good people, Leslie Bibb, great
Yeah.
people. And out of the clear blue, I'm like, is that Mindy Cohn from Facts of Life? Is that Natalie? Is that Natalie? And of course, I got to go right on IMDb, and it's
Right.
Natalie. And I'm like,
Oh, wow.
oh my God, first of all, perfect character to come back with.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect character to come back with. And I'm
Oh,
like,
look at
that's,
that.
I love that. Like, I really, really love that.
Yeah.
You know,
Yes.
like,
Yes.
roll low till you find just the right thing. You know,
Yeah.
don't panic, you know, don't take shit parts and then boom, come back with something that's perfectly suited for you. You know, like I was like,
Right.
yeah.
What is that show? What did you say it was?
Palm Royale.
Have to look for that. Palm Royale.
I'm having, we're on episode 4, and we just said to each other tonight, it's very slow moving, really slow moving. It's not a comedy, it's not a drama, it's just kind of quirky. Like it takes place in the late 60s, early 70s around Vietnam, but it all takes place in Palm Beach, and it's about the real wealthy society and, you know, like the club. And all the matriarchs of the club, and you know, one young woman's struggle to really want to be in it, and the lengths she'll go through to be in it. But it's not grabby, you know, like it's not grabby, and I hate that because I want to get sucked in, like
Yeah.
in one or two episodes, and then like I just want to, you know, want to keep watching it. But
Right.
it's a slow burn, so I'm hoping
Yeah.
it's a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not awful. I mean, you know, I love the era that it's filmed in.
Are the people that are in it?
Was it you that we were having this? It seems like everything right now that you watch is from a different era.
Yes.
You
And it
know,
seems
whether
like the
the
80s,
80s or the
70s.
90s, or you can't quite tell. Like
Right.
I know this isn't like present time, but I can't quite.
Yes.
Yeah. So
A
there,
lot of
it's pretty Yeah, it seems weird that every single thing is like that right
Yeah.
now. Everything. So yeah,
Make
we just can't find, you know, like I went through so many series while Gemma was gone. You're like, I
mm.
binged all 8 seasons of Monk.
Oh, wow.
I know. I
An
know.
old
It's just the weirdest thing. I was like, it was new on Netflix. And I'm like, you know, I didn't ever watch this when it was on regular TV.
me, not like totally, just an episode here and there.
Not even
And
like I never watched one episode, and
oh,
like I'm gonna give it a shot because I loved him in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, you know,
yeah.
as her dad. And I mean, I kind of like him in anything, so let me give this a shot. And I was like, I was into it. Like I watched all 8 seasons in that 3 week period. It was like, yes, it was perfectly fit. I ended it like the day before she got back,
Have
and then I had to
you
find.
ever seen Life Itself? I think it's from maybe, I don't know, 2000, I don't even know, 14, 15, 17, in the teens, I think. It's got a lot of stars, but for short periods of time because it goes through different parts of different stages in a family's life, like different generations, I should say. So it's got like Antonio Banderas, it's got Jean Smart, it's got Mandy Patinkin, it's got Annette Bening, but they're not in it for the whole thing. They're just in it for the different, you know, decades or whatever. It's a long movie, but it's kind of told from the granddaughter's point of view of this family. It's really very interesting. So
I
there was
love
a lot.
Mandy Patinkin. I
There's a
love
lot
him.
of Bob Dylan's music in it, or some of Bob Dylan's music in it, because one of the stages of the generations, the woman loved Bob Dylan, so she wanted to name the girl. She names her daughter Dylan, and she's trying to get the husband to like
Right,
Bob Dylan. He doesn't like it, and it's if
get
you
that.
want,
I like
like
Bob
it's
Dylan.
the only part that was a little. I think they could have really made shorter was the part with Antonio Banderas. That part of the story made it draggy. Like if they made that part of the movie a little shorter, it would have been more, for my opinion, my
Yeah.
humble opinion,
No,
or more.
I don't even, I never heard of it. And it's a shame because I do love Mandy Patinkin. Like
Yeah, he was
we
great in
just
it.
watched
Yeah.
I guess it was, I think it was on Disney too, called Death and Other Details.
Okay, no, I didn't see that one.
He's really good in it. Like, he plays a detective, and again, not quite sure when it takes place, but it, you know, it doesn't seem like right now.
Right. You can tell a lot of times by the phones they're using, you know, if they're,
well, it was a little bit hard because it was about a bunch of wealthy families that were on this boat that a guy spent millions and millions of dollars on to recreate a certain era, like an old.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Okay.
But he plays the detective in it, and it's very like, have you ever seen Death on the Nile or the Orient Express and the Agatha Christie ones?
Oh, I've never seen any of those.
It had like a little bit of that feeling to it, but it was good. Like, there was a lot of familiar faces in it, and we got sucked right in. There were, I think it was like eight or ten episodes, I can't remember, but we did that one. We went hard on that one. It was really good. I liked it, and I just loved him. I loved him in Homeland. He was so good in Homeland. Like, Homeland was back on Netflix, and I'm like, you know, I don't know that I could watch that again. Like, that was so intense and so, like, took your breath away. Like, certain, you know, especially in season one, Jesus Christ. But even the ending, I don't even remember how many seasons it was. But it might have been just past my intensity level. You know, like, so I don't think I could watch that again. There's certain seasons, like, there's certain shows I can watch from start to finish all over again, like Schitt's Creek, Ted Lasso, the feel goods, Gilmore Girls, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. But that was a little bit too, it was hard to stomach the first time around. Like, I don't know that I would do it again. You know, tough.
A new movie out on, is it Netflix? Netflix or HBO Max? I want to say Netflix. It's called, oh man, I got to get it right because it's the name of the brand. It was a brand of clothing. And it came out targeted towards teenage girls. And it was a one size fits all, but very small. So it was kind of only thin fit girls could wear it. So it was, it's a documentary film on this brand, and they used Instagram to advertise for all their advertisement. They never spent any money because they got these young girls to start advertising the clothes.
Yeah.
The ambassadors, and they would send them a box of clothes and they would have to take pictures. And basically those girls were the photographers, and their, Instagram was their platform for their advertising. It was kind of genius. The stores popped up everywhere in different countries. Like, there was one in Italy, there was one in London, there was one in New York City. God, I wish I can remember the name of the clothing now. Anyway,
Lululemon.
Like a Lululemon, but it started to have a negative stuff to it because they started treating the girls badly then that were working for them. They weren't paying them much. Then they were like, the guy, the person behind it was this guy, and he was just like, just cared about making the money. Mm-hmm. Of course, body shaming started because the chunkier girls couldn't wear it. And then there was a whole thing about what was the thing that was the main thing? I don't know. I didn't get to see the whole thing without being interrupted, but I'm going to go watch the whole thing from start to end, from beginning to ending, because it was interesting to see. Oh, I know what it was. Because they were like, they call it fast fashion. First of all, they were copying other brands' fashion, and they were making it so quickly because they were using sweatshops in third world countries.
It's so just that every was level of wrong.
Came up, like, right, every level of wrong.
Yeah.
And they showed you the people that they hardly got breaks, the people working, making these clothes in the factories, working under terrible conditions. They had this thing where they would have like 1,000 new styles in a week. Every week they had new styles because they were copying them and pushing them out. And then where do all these clothes end up? They would end up in like, you know, the bins that you throw the Goodwill, because they weren't expensive. So if they could, Taylor Swift, for example, they got her to wear one of their tees. And of course, all the girls wanted that t-shirt, but it wasn't very expensive. So you could wear a shirt for $15 that Taylor Swift was wearing, you know? So the end, what ended up is that in Ghana, all of these clothes are being brought to that country in these big trucks, because I guess they feel they need clothes there. And then they get thrown in the ocean and washing up on their shores. Mm-hmm. So they have a big problem there with all of these clothes. And that was the worst part.
With you, they have a big problem with all recycling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And all of it. But I never thought of clothes. Mm-hmm. But that the fast fashion clothes are the ones that are the problem, because they're inexpensive and they're in, they're out. They're here today. They're not in style tomorrow. The young girls were able to go and buy a big bag of clothes for not a lot of money and get on Instagram and talk about it. And then, you know, you see where it's being made and the people, how they're being living and being treated. The whole thing, you're right, on every level, the guy behind it, he was like the wizard behind the curtain. Nobody saw him. Yeah. Nobody saw the real person behind this. Was
I know this is like really enlightening to you, but this has been going on for so long. But yes, on every different level, from sneakers to sunglasses.
Yes.
So it's not really just clothes, but there is always one mastermind behind it. And it's only going to get worse with AI, you know, because people are going to sign their consent forms to use their images. And, you know, it's already like they Photoshop a lot of like celebrities wearing like, you know, certain things that people are trying to sell, whether it's like no more Trump, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll put Tom Hanks's head on it and say that he's walking around in that shirt. And it's just like, come on, man. But I think as grownups, I'm super sensitive to that kind of content. Like,
yes.
I don't acknowledge it. I don't click on it. I don't look at it. I don't pay it any attention. I don't, it's bad, you know, and it's like, I feel like, you know, that it is, because like, I don't know about you, but like, if I watch a clip and they're showing, you know, like how bad it is in Gaza, but yet there's like kids wandering around and they're wearing like American football shirts. So that shit's going, like you said, going to Ghana, but it's also going everywhere. You know, that's how you know when you see these third world countries, like they show the Sudan and, you know, these people are wearing, you know, Adidas shirts and whatever. You're like, oh, my God. So, it's not
so true. And, you know, I just looked it up. Brandy Melville. But Brandy Hellville is the name of the documentary. But I had never heard of it. It was Brandy Melville. And the whole mastermind part of it was for making the money quickly, is they got the young girls in.
Didn't I tell you like how much of that shit we get in our Instagram account? You know, like wear our pride wear, wear our sunglasses.
I get that too. Yeah.
It's like they don't even look to see how old you are. Like, really, do you want a 55-year-old fat girl to be your ambassador? Have you even looked at the page? So it's like, you know,
they see me with sunglasses and I get a lot of be an ambassador to wear our sunglasses.
Me too. Everything from hats to sunglasses to pride wear to sneakers. It's so stupid the way they use people. You know, they're trying to pass these laws in Congress now that protect your privacy a little bit more and trying to put a stop to this kind of thing. But you know, we can blame the guy behind the curtain.
We
can also blame the Zuckerbergs, you know, of the world that have all the money and they keep putting it into the metaverse and AI technology and new, 3D glass, goggles or whatever.
Yeah,
put all their money into that, but they can't pay a team of people to, protect against misinformation, political propaganda, Russian bots, and this same kind of stuff that you're talking about. Like, why wouldn't you put the money in to have a safer service? You know what I mean? Because the more and more what I hear is that Facebook is for your grandmother, Instagram is for your teenager, TikTok is for your tweenager. You know what I mean?
What's beyond that? Is there something newer than that, than TikTok?
I think Threads is for pretty much normal people. Threads is like a mental health site where people are pouring out their problems and looking for
comforter.
Like every time I put on, I look at my Threads thing, it's people that are trying to protect trans rights and standing up for them, themselves, trans people standing up for themselves. It's a lot of feministy stuff. It's a lot of Trump bashing, which is fine. Like, I'm here for that, but it seems like it's a place where you're purging your soul and then you're sitting back and waiting. Because my thought is that all the Twitter rejects are going to slowly start moving over there because they get their fun, picking on liberals and picking on, gay people. They're going to find their way, and right now I feel like Threads, we're kind of fishing for them so that we can hurry up and block them. So it's a little bit weird right now. It's weird, but I do notice, like, I think my algorithm on Facebook is so bad. I got an ad for a drum set.
Oh.
Me. Like, my house, you could hear a pin drop during the day. There's times where I don't even turn the TV on until dinner time. It's so, and they put a drum set, an electronic drum set. And I'm like, do they not? They don't know me at all.
Wait, you don't turn your TV on all day?
Sometimes.
I need it on so I don't stay stuck in my head.
I will put mindless stuff on if I'm, like, sometimes I've just had enough. Like, I've just had enough of noise in general. Yeah. So I will turn it off after the news in the morning and just have, like, a little period of nothingness, which is great. You know what I mean? Like, I can fully concentrate on what it is I'm doing. And then I'll put something else on. But I will put, like, mindless television on, like Selling Sunset, Selling the OC.
Beverly
Hills, like those kind of reality bullshit shows that you really don't care if you're folding the laundry in another room and you missed it. So
exactly. Right.
Yeah, it's emotional support television, I think it's called.
Oh, I get it.
TV. Yeah. I can't watch exploitative stuff. Like, I can't watch a show about a 500-pound woman, and I can't watch a show like Hoarders.
Oh, yeah.
I can't I can't watch anything from TLC, basically. But I will watch.
I swear, at TLC, you have to be a freak to get on any of those shows.
And I can't watch that. I feel like they're exploitative. Yeah, they feel wrong.
Especially the 500-pound people. Definitely.
And throwing people in those situations too, like 90 Day Fiance, like you're literally throwing them in situations that are emotionally scarring for them. It's bad. It's not happy, and then they're filming them on top of all of that. It's just like, oh my God. Right. Like, I'll watch a reality show about rich people any day because they're already self-entitled brats and we're all watching. We're all watching because they're making us sick, to our stomachs. Kind of thing I'll watch, but it's really hard to watch. It's really hard to watch the other stuff. So yeah, I'll put on some shitty, reality. But I do love looking at the houses. I'm like, $23 million for a 6-bedroom house on the ocean. Looking at all the different details and, like, look at the floor, look at the tile, the bathroom. Oh my God, like that. Like, I will watch it, stop what I'm doing to look at the house. But once the girls start catfighting and it's a bunch of shit, I can go wash dishes now. No big deal. Yeah.
Etheridge was on his one was on an episode of House, one of the Housewives episodes, and it was that one of the husbands was one of the women's birthdays, and her husband hired Melissa Etheridge to sing at her birthday party. So they were in this nice restaurant and they had a private room. And then it's just so funny how you say the rich, bitchy women, because only like a couple of them are like, oh, she came out to sing, right? She walked out from behind a curtain or something. And then they're like, he's like, oh, I got you a special surprise, you know, and then out comes Melissa and she's playing the guitar. It was just her acoustic. And they were like, oh my God, oh my God. And then there were like a couple of them going, who is that? Like, because she was in the middle of telling a story about herself. And then this, here comes Melissa Etheridge to ruin it, right? Oh, and she's going, I don't even know who that is. And you could see the camera going on her. And then she goes, was she under the table the whole time? Like, as if Melissa Etheridge would have been hiding under the table for the whole dinner. So
the best was, you
know, so absorbed, so self-absorbed. You were right.
I was watching Selling Sunset today, and I normally will turn the TV off the minute Gemma walks in the door because she has no patience for that kind of bullshit television. And I didn't quite hear her put the key in the door or whatever, and she walks right in at the time when the one, mind you, these women are getting like $300,000 commissions for selling these houses.
Yeah. You
know? They are so wealthy, it's sickening. And they're partnering up and they're showing this amazing home in Laguna Beach, and they're walking through and they're talking about all the different detail and everything. And the one lady said, and this guy has a phenomenal pen collection. Like, it's so, he's got pens from like way, way back, like a pen that Abe Lincoln used. And it's so much money. And then they're like walking, and the other girl goes, oh my God, Abe Lincoln, he was like the first president, right?
What an idiot.
Like, not laughing at how stupid these women are. And the one goes, no, that was George Washington. And she goes, oh, right. But he was a president. Like, she was questioning whether he was even a president. I'm like, hey, oh my God. And that's right when Gemma walked in. She was like, what is this? I'm like, don't worry about it. Click, click, click. So embarrassing. But yeah, it's like, God. Painful. Those are the moments, though. Those are the moments I wait for. Those are the juicy nuggets.
Right? Well, like the
make
way.
Make it okay to laugh at them.
So self-absorbed. She's thinking Melissa Etheridge would have been under the table the whole time during the. And who is she? Really? She was playing Come to My Window or something. Like, how do you not know who she is? Oh, of course, the other women were like, oh my God. You know, like they wasn't all, it was just a couple of them that were acting like that. But
probably,
you know,
the really young, dumb ones.
Really self-absorbed.
Yeah, it's like
our story.
It makes you wonder, like, they must know that they're not the sharpest tool in the shed, and yet they're perfectly okay going on a show that like letting the world know that they're dumb. Like, it's like, woo, woo.
And fighting with each other. They're always arguing with
each
other.
Oh, totally, yeah. But yeah, I can't. I'm really limited. I remember back when I was living in Florida, especially when I was single, and I would have like Sundays to myself, and I would just like hit my bong and watch Bravo all day long. And I was like, oh my God, I knew everything about the Real Housewives in New Jersey, the Real Housewives in New York. I didn't like any of the West Coast, but I would watch all the East Coast ones. But yeah, I knew all of them. Like, I knew back when Bethany Frankel was a nobody.
Yeah.
Jill Zarin was like begging her to come on the show, and she didn't even know if she wanted to. And now look at her with her skinny.
Made her famous. Was that show that made her famous?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like, I was watching it way back then, you know, like I think it's like you go through periods and then you can't have it anymore because it's like too much garbage in your brain. You
got to
empty the bin and watch a couple of documentaries, you know, and then you can go back to watching the trash TV.
Yeah. I mean, I don't watch that. I watch other trash reality TV, but I don't watch The Housewives. But I watched that episode because I heard Melissa Etheridge was on it. That's the only reason I watched.
She was on, what was she, on the Country Music Awards?
Yes, with Jewel, I think it was, right? Or
I don't know. I just saw a clip of her singing with, I think, Kelsea Ballerini.
Oh, that's who it was, Kelsea
Yeah.
Ballerina.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. That's all right.
That
She's
was,
living here
yeah.
right now. Yeah.
Well, she did a Crossroads with Dolly Parton years ago, many
Yeah.
years ago.
I love Dolly. I really do.
And
I really
Jolene.
think, like, if Dolly and Taylor Swift ran the world, it would be such a better place. Such a better place. We can dream. All right, my friend, I'm gonna let you go here. It's getting a little bit.
Fun.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm working on getting Nick back.
Okay.
Got a couple
Next.
questions for him about some movies that are coming up.
Oh,
Yeah.
great. Next week,
And
got Galvin coming on
he's
from
from.
he is from he's here from in South Florida in Fort Lauderdale, very active in politics as an advocate for LGBTQ rights in the community. And he's got a project right now called Safe Schools, Florida Safe Schools. I don't, that might not be the exact name, but he'll tell us all about it. Very, very worthy causes he's always involved
That's
in the community.
fantastic.
Awesome guy. We've been on Happening Out TV a couple of times. We've been on the same episode, so I've seen him as hosting. It's a news show, an LGBTQ news show, and we've been on the same as guest hosts.
He's adorable. He started following us. I followed him. He started following us. So yeah,
Yeah.
I was checking him out. Scott Galvin. Galvin.
Got Galvin.
Great. And he's next week.
Next week, yes.
Okay, terrific. And I yeah, there's a couple people I'm working on, but yeah, so we'll see if we can get Nick back. We got Scott coming up, and I really want to talk to the lady that you met at Pride.
Yes, I have been, she's so busy. We haven't been able to connect, but we will. I mean, it's funny because Danny knows her sister-in-law and Joni worked with her at at CityLink, but I haven't been able to, we've been missing each other, but I'll get in touch with her and
That'd be
we'll.
great. Yeah, it's good. We got some good stuff coming up. And then when I'm there, we'll have to do some kind of stuff
Yeah,
while I'm
we'll
there.
see. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, definitely. All
Yep.
right.
All
Have
righty. I can
a
give you
good
a
night.
Christmas present then. I still have your Christmas present.
Perfect. I love a gift upon arrival.
Yes.
Brilliant. All right. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Why do you always run?
Like, never stop chasing your dreams. We drank way too much whiskey.
See?
Always run back to the lover you once knew. You're addicted to
touch.